All right, we're going to take your calls this hour with David J. Brown, Dreaming Wide Awake. If you had a lucid dream or questions, check in with us right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back as we start another hour here at Coast to Coast AM with David J. Brown, Dreaming Wide Awake. David, where do we get your book?
My book is available on Amazon through the Inner Traditions website and any fine bookstore by you.
Excellent. You had fun writing it, and it was very informative.
Oh, thank you so very much. I really enjoyed writing the book. It was one of the best times of my life to write that book, to be honest.
Of everything you've done in the area of lucid dreaming, what has been the most fascinating aspect of that for you?
The most fascinating aspect of lucid dreaming? I guess, you know, the most fascinating aspect to me was learning to ignore the dream environment, learning to ignore the dream characters, and learning how to interact with the spirit of the dream itself. This was a technique that I learned from Robert Wagner. I would ignore everything going on in the dream and just lift my head to the sky and ask questions to the dream itself. And surprisingly enough, the dream, or the orchestrator of the dream, or whoever the spirit of the dream is, your unconscious mind, whatever it is, it will talk back to you and it will answer your questions. And remarkably, this intelligence, or this spirit, or this part of our own brain that we're normally not in touch with, seems to know us better than we know ourselves. And interacting and dialoguing with the spirit of the dream has been the most powerful and transformative aspect of this practice for me.
Have you ever had a precognitive dream?
Oh, I've had plenty of precognitive dreams, actually. Nothing that would be really all that exciting to tell you about, but I mean, I've experienced, you know, people that I've, there was a woman years ago that I dreamt about 2 days before I met her. I mean, it was extremely uncanny how much she physically resembled the woman, and personality-wise, I think it's very, very, very common for people to have dreams like this. Some people think that what deja vu is that it's the experience of recognizing that we experience what we're experiencing now in a dream previously, and that's where the memory comes from. I think that's an interesting possibility.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. As they line up, we'll pick it up by going to Stormy in Richland, Washington. Hello, Stormy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. Go ahead.
I wanted to know, is it possible to pick a lucid dream and keep going back to the same one?
Oh, it absolutely is. Yes, it absolutely is. You can you can change your dream environment by doing what I suggested earlier, which was by closing your eyes in the dream, spinning around in circles with your arms out, and visualizing in your mind the dream that you would like to be in. And you often find yourself in the dream environment that you had visualized, and you could literally have the same, you know, encounter the same characters, the same dream environment, and pick up on one dream where the other dream left off. So, yes, it's definitely possible. Many people, one of the techniques for learning how to lucid dream better is to, when you wake up from a dream in the middle of the night that was non-lucid, as you're going back to sleep, to try to visualize that dream where you become lucid in it and where you were able to take an active role in it. And many people find that when they go back to sleep, they will find themselves sometimes in that dream, but this time becoming lucid.
Sometimes it's very frustrating when you wake up from a dream and you want to get back into it and you can't.
Oh, I know. It is very, very frustrating. That's why soon we're going to have lucid dream on command machines. So hopefully we'll be able to alleviate that frustration.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Let's go to John in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, what do you say, George?
Hello there.
Hey, man. George, this is John in Tulsa there. We talked a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
You know, Gladys was on, and she I've been having those end-time dreams, and she showed me how to block it out. She told me to do certain things. I did it. It worked.
Beautiful.
But it's constantly creeping back every now and then. But, David, you're right on. You're on point, my friend. I've been having them ever since about my early 20s, and you just validated a lot of things that I have already done. from the flying and martial arts and singing and even having sex. So everything is pretty much you're on point, and I greatly appreciate you. And it is common to go back in the next day. I don't know how I've been able to do this. That just happened, and pick up from the previous dream. Same environment, same everything. So just keep up the good work, man, and glad to see you've got some fellow comrades out there that that has the same views and dreams as I do. Hey, George?
Yes, sir.
The BOK Center in Tulsa is waiting on you, my friend.
Okay.
We'd love just to have you here.
I'm going to talk to Tommy about that. That might be fun indeed. David, who is studying dreams right now? What area of science? What would they be called?
There's in neuroscience right now. In neuroscience at the Max Planck Institute is where the primary research with lucid dreaming is going on. They're looking specifically at that area with transcranial brain stimulation right now to be able to see if it can be directly stimulated. That's the most latest study that I'm aware of.
I think dreams are powerful. You know, when you were zapped off there, I was talking about how I have used dreams to accomplish things, you know, by concentrating on a specific job or the person who is going to do the hiring. And you kind of like go to sleep thinking of them. And I'm convinced that something happens where you connect with that person in a dream state.
Yeah, I think so too. I really do. I mean, there's an ancient practice called dream incubation, where what you do is, you know, you pose a question to yourself, write it down, and think about it carefully as you're going to sleep. And oftentimes you'll find that your unconscious mind will be wrestling and thinking about that question throughout the night. And oftentimes you actually wake up with an answer, whether or not you've had a lucid dream where you were able to directly ask the dream spirit, you know, the answer to the question. Sometimes just the process of sleeping and dreaming helps people to creatively come up with solutions. History just overflows with examples of how people came up with creative solutions in their sleep and through their dreams.
Next up, we go to Cindy in Whittier, California. Hey, that's where Richard Nixon was. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, George. We love your shows.
Thank you.
You're the sweetest man. I was wondering, remember you said, sir, that sometimes, like, you can stare at a person and the person will feel the vibes and will turn around and realize they're being stared at? I'm having a little problem with, I listen to the radio all day long because my eyes are, I can't watch TV, so I listen to the radio a lot. And I'll sometimes daydream about something else, and I'll think of a word, and about 2 minutes later, they say the word on the radio. What is that?
Synchronicity at its
best. Huh?
Synchronicity at its best.
Synchronicity?
Synchronicity or selective attention. Sometimes it's very hard to distinguish which is which.
You know, when that happens, and it happens a lot, we're tapping into something, aren't we, David?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think that there's a group mind. I think that all minds are connected. I think it's an illusion that we're actually all separate minds. So to me, it's, you know, we know from quantum physics that whenever two, you know, objects come in contact with each other, they're forever more connected in a faster than light way. I think all minds are connected. All minds are, you know, unified and on some basic level. So it's, you know, it really shouldn't be that surprising that, you know, telepathy and precognition and group mind, you know, kinds of phenomena occur. I think it's more mysterious that these things don't happen more often. I think that's the real mystery, why there's a lack of telepathy, why there isn't telepathy more often. I think that's really the bigger mystery, because our minds are clearly connected in some kind of unified way.
We have Carol in Roxboro, North Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Hi, George and Dave. I had a dream one night that I believe was a combination of lucid dreaming and bilocation, or lucid dreaming and remote viewing. I was in the front of an airplane in the coach section, and I had a seat on the aisle, but instead of sitting down in my chair, I was sitting on the arm of the seat facing backward, and I was watching a man in the very back row of the airplane on the other aisle side. And then all of a sudden, I sat up in bed and woke up and realized that I was dreaming. And I was sitting there thinking, boy, that really seemed like a real dream. But then the more I sat there, I realized something was wrong with my body. My body felt like I was going crazy. It felt like all the biochemistry and electrical impulses and everything in my body was just going totally haywire. And I thought, my God, am I having a schizophrenic breakdown or what? You know, my whole body was just discombobulated. And it was so bad I couldn't go back to sleep, so I got up and stayed up and went to work. Well, 2 o'clock that afternoon, I got a call in my office, and I answered the phone, and I said, hello. And it was the man who I knew that I had been watching in the airplane. And he said, Carol, I took the red eye from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., from San Diego to Washington Dulles Airport. So the whole time that I was dreaming about this person, he really was riding an airplane, you know, riding in an airplane.
Huh.
Wow, that's fascinating. I mean, there's a lot of interesting evidence that people who are very closely emotionally bonded are the best candidates for telepathic communication. So is this someone you were very very close with?
Well, yeah, sort of. I had been to graduate school with him, and we had been close at times. But this is I can have things like that about people that I'm not close to. In fact, I don't have it as much now as I used to, because once I prayed to God very vehemently that He would take some of these skills away from me, because it used to be when I was younger, you know, like in my 20s, I didn't have anybody talk to about these things, and I just assumed they were normal. Everybody did them. I didn't realize I was doing these different things. But like, if somebody would mention somebody's name, say, I'd like you to meet such and such a person, I would say, well, I don't know, you know, and I would describe some things about that person that maybe was why I didn't want to meet them. And people would just say, that's amazing. How can you know that? You haven't even met the person. So I have predicted things. Like when Jacqueline Kennedy died, the minute that John finished saying that his mother had just died, I turned to my husband and I said, oh, my God, poor Caroline. Now she's going to be all alone, because within the next 10 years, John will die, and she'll be all alone except for her cousins. And I told my husband, I can't figure out how he's going to die. It's going to be something to do with an airplane. I said, but it's not going to be an airplane that terrorists have taken hostages of. And he's not going to have an accident on riding his bike in New York. You know, now, see, at that point in time, John had not started taking flying lessons. And so I couldn't figure out what it would have to do with an airplane, because, you know, at that point he wasn't flying an airplane. But I told my husband, I said, I can't figure out exactly what's going to happen, but it's going to involve an airplane. And sure enough,
well, you were spot on that one. That's for sure. In lucid dreaming, David, do you also become psychic?
Oh, I think it's certainly possible. I'm not sure that it's necessarily a given, but I think that there are certainly many anecdotes with people being able to reveal information that they couldn't possibly have known otherwise. There's a number of anecdotes with people talking to people in their lucid dreams and encountering information that they really couldn't have known otherwise. And like I said before, there's that very strong evidence for dream telepathy. The, you know, technique that I mentioned earlier, you know, about asking the spirit of a dream questions, you can ask this, you know, ask the dream spirit questions about other people or about other events. And a lot of people, I haven't really experimented with this that much, but other people report that they get, that it's a clear channel for psychic communication. So I really do think so. I think that in that realm, it's almost kind of like a virtual reality internet where people who are all dreaming can meet together in some other realm.
Yeah, give us those techniques again, David.
The techniques for being able to
Pop into your lucid state.
Well, I'll tell you what, a technique that I use the most is questioning my reality. you know, asking myself, am I dreaming right now, is one of the best techniques, and actually testing it by, you know, trying to breathe through your nostrils or by looking at something written and looking away and seeing, when you look back, seeing if the words had changed or not. Another technique that I didn't mention earlier but I can mention now is setting your alarm clock about 3 hours earlier than you normally wake up, and getting up, you know, for around a half an hour, 45 minutes or so, and, you know, reading a little bit, going to the bathroom, just arouse your brain a little bit, and then go back to sleep. And people find that that process of waking up early in the morning and then going back to sleep, actually scientific studies show that people have lucid dreams then around 50% of the time. So if you start mixing and matching all these different techniques, you know, asking yourself, am I dreaming right now? You know, get into the habit of doing that, get into the habit of waking up early in the morning and doing these different things, you'll start to find that you'll start to have lucid dreams.
And when you practice these techniques and over again, how long does it take people to be able to pull this off?
Oh, it usually happens pretty quickly, actually, usually within the first week or two.
Wow, that's fast.
It usually happens pretty quick. And like I said, I suspect that a significant portion of your listening audience tonight is going to have a lucid dream when they go to sleep, because people often have them spontaneously just from hearing about it or reading about it or listening or something. You know, just it enters into your mind, and a part of your mind is listening, and you may just become lucid tonight.
Our first time caller, Mark in Denver. You're on the air with us, Mark. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, David.
Hi.
I had a strange thing happen as a lucid dream. I guess I was at a construction site or something like that. I was watching some guy kind of moving along, walking with this pole in his hand, and there was a mound of dirt in front of him, and I don't think he saw it. And the pole, well, he tripped and fell, and I was laughing in my dream. He didn't get hurt or anything, but and then I reached up with my hand to feel my lips to see if I was smiling, and I realized, oh yes, I'm smiling, so it's just a dream. It was kind of interesting, though. I kind of thought, like, who was that was checking to see if I'm dreaming, if that's me dreaming? So I just thought about that.
Why is it that, David, in a dream that you see what's going on, whether it's lucid or just an ordinary dream, but you don't see yourself in the dream? It's always as if your physical body is looking at something.
That's simply because that's the perspective that you have throughout the day. I mean, mostly what you dream about is what you experience during the day. So your normal perspective throughout your waking reality is going to be mostly simulated in a dream, but that's not entirely true. You can actually have an out of the dream body experience. This is one of the things that you can willfully do, and I've done many times. It's actually not that hard. It's much easier to have an out of the dream body experience than it is to have an out of the body experience when you're in your waking reality. All you have to do in a lucid dream, really, is will it. Try to move outside of your physical body in the dream, and you'll find that you can actually elevate yourself, and you know, just like you did when you were 11 years old,
yeah,
down at yourself. You can do that in a lucid dream pretty easily, actually. It's much easier to do in a lucid dream.
It's got to be a weird sensation, I bet, to
it
see yourself.
You know, what's even weirder is you can not only leave your body in a lucid dream, you could then fuse your mind with other bodies. You can go inside other people in the lucid dream or inside a plant.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. We're talking lucid dreams with David J. Brown, and we're going to take your final phone calls in a minute. On our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to talk about the JFK assassination with a special documentary producer, and then open lines on Coast to Coast. Welcome back. David J. Brown with us as we talk about lucid dreaming, the name of his book, Dreaming Wide Awake. David, you're talking about fusing in lucid dreams with other people's lucid dreams. How do you do that?
Oh, it's actually really simple. What I found was that in a lucid dream state, I can very easily leave my body and have an out-of-the-dream body experience simply by willing it. And once I'm floating around in this environment as a spirit, I can look down at my dream body and see my dream body down there, and I can then fuse my conscious mind with any other people in the dream or even inanimate objects. I can become a table, or I can become anything. I know this sounds really remarkable, but actually in the dream it proved to be less remarkable than it sounds, because I would just gain a new perspective, and it didn't really seem to give me any kind of insight or any kind of remarkable perceptions. But it was rather interesting that I had this ability to just leave my body in the dream and fuse myself with any other object in the dream, because the whole dream environment is really a part of your own mind. Everything is just an aspect of your own mind. So it's just really an illusion that the body, you know, your dream body is who you are in the dream. You're actually the whole dream.
David, there are some people who just don't recall their dreams. They just don't remember. How come?
I think that part of the reason is because our culture encourages people not to pay much attention to their dreams. As children, Western society, people are normally encouraged to forget their dreams. You know, a child will wake up from a disturbing dream, and instead of the parent examining it and talking to the child about it, they'll just be, honey, oh, honey, that was just a dream, you know, try to devalue the significance of it. So I think people have been partially conditioned to not pay attention to their dreams. And if you start paying attention, if you start keeping a dream journal, if you start writing down little snippets of your, you know, if you just remember the tiniest bit of something, you'll find that the more attention you pay to trying to remember your dreams, the more you actually remember your dreams. So it has something to do with conscious attention, I think. But there are also some people who just, you know, have a much better recall of their dreams for reasons that are rather mysterious and we don't know. But anyone can improve their dream recall. And if you can't, you know, remember a dream when you wake up in the morning, then just write down how you feel. You know, start doing that. Write down how you feel when you wake up. Get into the habit of recording as much as you can in the morning. And I think that most people will find that when they do this, they will start to remember their dreams. Almost everybody who thinks they don't dream, when they go into a sleep laboratory and when they're awoken during the REM stage of sleep, most of those people almost always recall dreams.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Wild card line, Carlton in Detroit, Michigan, my old hometown. Carlton, go ahead.
Yes. I had a dream that stuck with me. And it's kind of like you were talking about. Okay, let me just tell you what the dream is.
Sure.
I was sleeping, of course, and then I felt my bed kind of shaking, and I woke up. Well, I thought I woke up, and just below my bed, at the foot of the bed, was this vortex, a small vortex with like four heads at the top. I'm thinking they were angels. And it's spinning around in this vortex. And at the bottom of the vortex was these four thin pieces of paper, thin wood. I think that was wood. That's what I perceived it to be. And it would spin around in conjunction with the heads at the top. And they started to dissipate one at a time, just kind of like spinning and leaving. And then I noticed that my dog that usually sleeps on that side of the bed at the foot of the bed, he took off. He left. And so I just laid back down. And then when I woke up again, he was off the bed. And I was like, I couldn't tell if I was dreaming or if I was awake at that time when the vortex was there. I don't know. It's just kind of strange. It was really vivid and lifelike, and I could tell that I was still, you know, sleeping but awake. It was just a really weird dream. I've never had a dream like that before, or any kind of dreams like that. And it was just the vortex part that was that, you know, I did a little research and it said it could have been a portal vortex or, something else.
David, did you ever hear of that?
Yeah, you know, it sounds to me like during that experience, you probably were still dreaming or still in a dream state. I mean, what the particular symbolism was of the spinning vortex and the things that you were seeing, it's, I think that's something personal to you that that I, you know, won't really be able to discern. But it sounds to me like you were in what they call a false awakening, where you were dreaming and you think you awaken, but you're actually still dreaming, and you're forming a model of the world around you that you would see normally when you're awake. It's a fascinating experience. I haven't quite heard anything quite like that before.
No, that's different.
It sounds like it would really make a wonderful painting. You should use that as, some kind of creative stimulus. That's a wonderful idea for a painting.
David, tell me a little bit more about this paralysis. Is this the same as sleep paralysis?
Yes. That's sleep paralysis, which is normally very, very frightening for people because you know, your body doesn't want to act out the actions in your dreams.
Yeah.
So, you know, it goes into a state of paralysis, and if you wake up in a state when you're you know, your body's still paralyzed, but your mind wakes up, most people usually find that to be extremely frightening. And it's not uncommon for people in that state to not only be, you know, paralyzed with feeling like their limbs are glued to the bed, but then to see, you know, a threatening figure or a dark figure moving towards them in some way that they feel is going to harm them in some way. It's very, very common, but I've found, like I may have mentioned earlier, that I've learned to embrace those states of sleep paralysis and use them as a launching pad for an out-of-body experience or a lucid dream.
Can you lucid dream at will?
Oh, I wish. Oh, my goodness. No. I'm not that good.
Are there some people who do that?
I know someone who says they can, who says they can do it at will pretty much whenever they want. And this is someone who I discuss in my book and who is someone who has actually designed spacecrafts and robotic apparatus
in the dream state.
No, for real.
Oh.
He designed this stuff in the dream state.
Yeah, that's
really
what I mean.
He designed this stuff for NASA. He's actually a NASA engineer, and what he does is he utilizes his lucid dream state to develop these technologies, and he's a very successful engineer. So it's really remarkable. And he's someone who tells me that he has the ability to lucid dream at will, and has throughout his whole life. It's not something that he really, you know, he may have cultivated
it,
but it's a technique that he's been doing since he was a child. I don't have that ability. I have a lucid dream, you know, maybe like a couple of months, basically, is my frequency of them.
Let's go to Dave in Fairbanks, Alaska. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi. Good evening from Alaska.
Yes, sir.
I'm really enjoying the show tonight, George, and I just had a question for your guest. I knew a medium out in North Dakota when I lived out there. I was part of a paranormal group out there. And she's passed on now, unfortunately. Her name's Lashina. And she used to tell me that when she was dealing with spirits that used to come visit her that either had a tragic death, like, that happened tragically and unbeknown to the person, of course, like an accident or something, or even some suicides, if it was a tragic death period, that they would visit her and tell her, hey, I'm trying to talk with my family, I'm walking around them, they're not seeing me, and they would just be in such distress. And she would always tell these spirits, you go talk to them while they sleep, and they will hear you, and she would never see the spirit again. So my question to you, Dave, is I was wondering, in your work, have you ever come across that, anything in the paranormal realm where people have communications with the dead, or anything else paranormal-wise with ghosts in your work? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, it's actually very common for people to have lucid dreams where they encounter their departed loved ones and encounter them and are able to often reconcile aspects of the relationship that weren't reconciled before they died. My own partner, Becca, she had a dream about a lucid dream several years after her father died, where she played pool with him and was able to interact with him, and it was a very healing dream for her. So yeah, I think it's definitely possible. I have a number of anecdotes in my book. People report this. So Yeah, I think it's definitely something that's possible, and it's something that people will almost commonly experience when a loved one dies if they tend to be actively lucidly dreaming.
Jeff in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hi, George and Mr. Brown. Yeah, it's so ironic that the Trump-Clinton debate occurred tonight because a couple of years ago, I had this very strange and frightening dream, which was very lucid. In this dream, I knew and I was very consciously aware that I was out of my body. You know, I was in my old childhood neighborhood wandering around a mini mall that had a fast food restaurant. Now, in this current reality, in 2016, you know, I see some of my old friends, both alive and dead, at this restaurant. I go into this place and ask them groggily and sleepily, hey, what year is it? They all say 2020. I then, for some reason, ask, who is the president? None of them knew. And all of them looked at me in bewilderment or wonderment, you know, and I then awake, you know, confused and somewhat terrified. My question is this, Mr. Brown. Why are very vivid lucid dreams so unbelievably real versus the run-of-the-mill cloudy dreams, whether in black and white or in color? And why is it that certain individuals can remember every detail or aspect of these particular lucid dreams instead of the average run-of-the-mill type everyday dream? And I'll take your answer off the air.
Okay, well, I think that the main reason why lucid dreams seem so much more vivid and so much more powerful in terms of their sensory stimulation is just simply because we're more awake. As I mentioned earlier, the prefrontal cortex, an area of the brain, becomes activated, so there's more neurological activity, and there's more consciousness, there's more mental stimulation. So I think those are some of the things that contribute towards making the experience more vivid. What some people remember their dreams better than others, I think it's really due to mysterious factors. There's probably different neurochemical balances in the brain, probably, there's probably some genetic propensity for remembering dreams. I've really noticed that there are certain families where people tend to remember dreams and talk about dreams more than other families, so there may be a genetic component to this. But, as I mentioned earlier, it's something that if you practice, if you start paying more and more attention to your dreams, you'll be able to remember them better and better and better. So it is a learnable skill.
What have you learned about lucid dreaming, David? What have you concluded about it?
Well, the most important thing that I've really learned from lucid dreaming is that my mind is able to create a model of reality that rivals my perception of reality in the waking world. And the fact that my mind can produce such an amazing replica of reality makes me really, really question what reality is and whether the reality we're living in right now isn't some sort of dream in the universal mind, the mind of God, if we aren't his characters, in some greater mind dreaming. And if the characters in us aren't independently conscious and aren't dreaming their own lives, and whether this goes on and on and on is just something that just tremendously fascinates me. But I do think that there's a tremendous amount we can learn about the nature of reality and ourselves if we pursue lucid dreaming.
Will science ever get to the point where they really can study this, where you hook somebody up with electrodes and you could actually see their dream on a big screen?
Yes, we are getting very close to that right now.
Like pictures, everything.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes, we are. There are Japanese researchers right now who have developed a rudimentary technology for being able to record our dreams. There's two different ways this is being done right now. There actually is a way of decoding neural signals where they can actually decode when somebody is visually looking at a printed letter. You can now decipher from that area of the brain what the letter looks like just from the neural imagery. And what Japanese researchers are doing is they're having people think of different things. Imagine an elephant, imagine a car, imagine different objects, and then they measure the brain activity during those states.
And they're able to make it as a model or something.
Yeah, so then they measure their dreams, and when those things come up, then that's the beginning. Then they can see, okay, an elephant, a car, and they can get some of the objects. And people have been able to verify
60%
of this. So this is the beginning of being able to really record and share our dreams in a very objective way.
David, thank you for being on the program. Good luck with your book, Dreaming Wide Awake, and keep in touch with us, all right?
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you so much, George.
You got it, David. David J. Brown. For Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, who just got married, Chris Boros and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.